Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos Taf Kuf Lametes. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored as Chusar for Shlema for Mayor Yosef Ben Yita by his children and grandchildren. It's also sponsored by the Halevi family in honor of the Bar Mitzvah of Netanel Adar Halevi, an avid, dedicated listener who's been keeping up with the daf via this shir. May the merit of this learning be a bracha for Klal Yisrael and for the entire world. So we are holding on the top of daf. First thing we're going to discuss is some agadita about the value of having proper judges and not to have corrupt judges in Klal Yisrael, and how that's one of the primary reasons for the Churban of Yerushalayim, which I guess counts as our Daf Yomi coincidence, as we are in the 9 days. Then the Gemara is going to raise three different shailas that were asked by the same people, but one of them was about a canopy on a bed on Shabbos, and that's why it's over here in this sugya where we are talking about Ohel. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about carrying a kila in a Rosh Hasharabim, a canopy in a Rosh Hasharabim, whether there's any way to do that. And then we're going to discuss doing a harama for strainers and also other areas of halacha, since we were talking about using strainers, so some way of doing a harama where a person can use a strainer, and other areas of halacha where we also do ha'arama. And then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to discuss a number of activities that look like they're very similar to the malacha of borer, and yet they're mutter to do on Shabbos. So let's begin on the very top of Kuf Lametes Amud Aleph, the second line of the page, right after the two dots. Tanya Rabbi Yosef ben Elisha Omer, Risa Dosh Tzoros Rabbos Boos Alav. If you see a generation that has many, many Tzoros, Tzeo B'dok B'dayana Yisrael, go investigate the judges of the Jewish people. Shekol Peronos, Shabbo Liolam, Lo Boel, Bishvil, Dayana Yisrael, that all of the Peronos, all the suffering that happens in the world is because of Dayanim that are not proper Dayanim. The Ben Yoyada says that we dafka say not just Tzoros Boos, but Tzoros Rabbos, because normally it's the Derech of HaKadosh Baruch not to bring all of the tzaros at one time. First he starts with a lighter tzaros, and then afterwards, if we don't get the message, so then comes the more chamuros. And over here, Rabbi Yosef ben Elisha is saying that you would see tzaros ba'os shelo kedarach, not the normal way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tzaros rabos that all come at one time. So why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going chutzl mechitzaso? He's going outside of his normal way of running the world because of the Dayana Yisrael that are also not agudim, because they're being mishana the derech ha'olam. They're being ma'avis hasadin, so Kodesh Baruch Hu's mishana the derech ha'olam in terms of the way that he deals with humanity. So it says in Mar Shenemar, where do I see this from? That it's all about the Dayanin, because the pasuk says in Micha, Shimon azos Rosh beis Yaakov k'tzinei beis Yisrael, ha'mesav v'mishpat, those who are disgusted with Mishpat, who reject Mishpat, v'iskala yishar ya'akshu, and they corrupt all the right ways. Bona tzion bedamim, they build their house in Yerushalayim with the money that they take on other people's cheshbonos, on the blood of other people. Yerushalayim ba'avla, and they build their homes in Yerushalayim through iniquity, through being unfair. Rasha b'shochad yishpotu, and the dayanim, that judge, are mizake, those who bribe them, so they those are the people that win the cases. V'chohanel b'mechir yaru, and the kohanim, who are the ones that are in charge of hora'ah, in charge of psak halacha, that's what the pasuk says, ki sifsei kohen yishmeru das, Vitori Yavakshu Mipiu, that the Kohanim are the ones that you should be Mevakesh Hora'ah and Torah from, so they're going to Paskin based on whoever pays the highest price. You pay a good price, you'll get a good psak. Unevia Bekesav Yiksomu, and the Nevia Yashaker are going to be Misnave based on money also. Val Hashem Yisheinu, and they're going to say, oh, Hashem is with us, and they're going to have such chutzpah to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never destroy them, because they would never destroy where they live, because this is the place of the Mishkan, this is the place of the Shekhinah, this is the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nosein Einov Bo, it's Yerushalayim, so nothing's ever going to happen. So says the Gemara, the Brice explains, Rishayim Hein, El Shetol B'tchon, Mishamar, V'haya Olam, they're Rishayim, but they place their Bitacha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never punish them. Lefichach, so since they violate these Averos, meaning they take money for judging, and the Kohanim for teaching Torah, and the Nevi'im for being Misnaveh, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu alein Sholosh Peroniyos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes in three ways. Keneged Shalosh Averos HaBiyadam. Shenemar Lachem Beglalchem Tzion Tzada Techaresh. Tzion is going to be a plowed over field. Yerushalayim Iyan Tia. And Yerushalayim is going to turn into Chorvos. It's going to be a bunch of ruins. Vaharabayis Lubamos Ya'ar. And the Harabayis is also going to be like a forest where it's going to be empty of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Maharal explains in his Chidushei Agados that it's Mida Keneged Mida on the three things, that there were three problems in Din, in Torah, and in Nevuah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes us in three places. In Harabayis, which is Keneged Adin, because the Sanhedrin would sit and judge in the Harabayis. That's where all Mishpat and Din goes out to the world. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is Keneged the Torah, because that's where the Aron and the Luchos were located. And the Heichal, the Beis HaMikdash, which is where the menorah was located, and that's Keneged Nevuah. That's what the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Ayin Beis, tells us about the Nevuah of Eli, V'ner Elokim Terem Yichbe, that Ad Shelo Kafsa Shimsho Shel Eli, Zorcha Shimsho Shel Shmuel, that when before the candle of Eli was extinguished, the light of Shmuel was already shining. So when it says, V'hara Bayis L'bomos Ya'er, it's Keneged Har Bayis, Yushalayim Iyin Tiyah, that's Kodesh HaKadoshim, Tzion Sadeh Techaresh, is the Heichel. So that's what the Maral writes, that's the Mida Keneged Mida. V'ena Kodesh Baruch Hu Masher Shechinas Al Yisrael, Ad Sheyichlu Shoftim V'Shotrim Ra'im Mi Yisrael. And the Shechina comes back to Klal Yisrael when the terrible Shoftim and Shotrim, when the terrible judges and those that enforce the law, are the ones that are corrupt, are going to be weeded out from the Jewish people. Shenemar, because the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, Vashiva Yadei Alayich, that I'll put my hand on you to cause you to suffer one makkah after the other. The etzrof kabar sigayich, and I will take away the psalus, whatever impurities are within you. The asira kol bedilayich, and I'll remove all the bedil, all of the tin that gets mixed in with the silver, meaning I'll purify the silver by removing the tin that's mixed in, meaning I'm going to take away the rishayim. So that's going to be what's that Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to remove the rishayim that separate us from him. So through all their sheker and through all their averus, and then the pasuk goes on and says, and then once we have the shavtim, so then we're going to have the Ir HaTzedek, then we're going to be able to have Yerushalayim back, we're going to be able to have a proper geula with Yerushalayim, the way we envision Yerushalayim. We say bracha every day in Shemoneh Esrei about returning the Shoftim, and it's probably one of the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei that resonate the least with us. I'm davening every day, Yerushalayim Ircha, yeah, I want to daven for such a thing. Rafaim, I want to daven for such a thing. The judges, is that something that's high on my list? So you learn this Gemara, you appreciate why it's high on the list. If this is the cause for Galus, and this is going to be what we need in order to bring Geula, in order to bring back Yerushalayim, so yeah, having the judges return, having proper judges return, is a major order of business for Klal Yisrael. That proper judgment, that having a sense of justice, is one of the Amudei Ha'olam, and it's something that's absolutely necessary. Amar Ula in Yerushalayim Nifta Ela B'Tzedakah, that the Pidyon of Yerushalayim is only going to come through the Zuchus of Tzedakah. Shnemar, because the Pasuk says, Tzion Bamishpat Tipade V'Shaveha B'Tzedakah, that Klal Yisrael is going to return to Yerushalayim through Tzedakah. So with Mishpat we'll get back Yerushalayim, but we only fully return through the Zuchus of Tzedakah. Amar Papa Ibatli Yehiri, if we're able to get rid of those people who are Gasei Aruach, those people who are arrogant, Batli Amgushi, then we'll be able to get rid of those people that are Mesis and Madiach, and that cause us to violate Avodah Zarah and cause distance in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ibatli Dayani, if we're able to be Mevatel, the evil judges, so Batli Gzir Pati. So then we're going to the non-Jewish Shotrim that abuse us are going to be taken care of as well. Ibatli, Ibatli Amgushi, how do I know that if you get rid of the arrogant people, you'll get rid of those who are Mesis Madiach, Tichsiv, because the pasuk says, Ve'etzrof Kabor Sigayich, and then right after it says, Vasira Kol Bedilayich. So after you remove the gasei aruach that are megadol themselves, so then vasira kol bidilayich, those that are mavdil, that cause a separation between us and our Kodesh Baruch Hu, those who are mesis and mediach are also going to be removed. Ibatli dan ibatli gezir pati tichsiv, because the pasuk says heisra shemish patayich pino eveich. And so when a Kodesh Baruch Hu removes shoftayich, the shoftim that are bad, so then the enemies that abuse Klal Yisrael are also going to be removed. Amir Rabbi Milayim Mishum Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Milay tells us the name of Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. My dechsev. What does the pasuk mean when it says Shavra Hashem Matir Rishayim Shevet Moshlim? So Shavra Hashem Matir Rishayim Elu Adayonim Shenasu Makal Lechazaneim. Those are the evil judges that give power to those who serve them, and they're mechazik them in their averos. That the Shamashim tell the Toveya that I'm not going to be your shliach to subpoena the nitva to the Beis Din unless you pay me more. So and then after the Pesach Din, they say, I'm not going to enforce the Din unless you pay me. There's a fee for that too. You want me to not only judge it, you want me to enforce the Din? Good, so there's a fee for that as well. And the Dayanim support this. The Dayanim allow this whole corrupt system to work, where all those that enforce the law, all those that work, all every court officer is getting paid under the table. So the Dayanim are allowing all of this to happen. Shevet Moshlim, Eilu Tamid Chacham Shem Mishpachos HaDayanim. And Shevet Moshlim are the Tamid Chacham that are in the families of these Dayanim HaRishayim, that they serve as a support for these Dayanim. How so? Because these Tamid Chachamim are the ones that appoint these Dayanim, and they cover up on their erroneous Piskei Halacha, and they try to justify. They'll write a whole tshuva explaining why the judgment was actually a fair judgment, even though they know that it was incorrect La Halacha. That the Talmid Chachamim are the ones that teach the Dayanim, these ignorant Dayanim, the Hilchus Tzibur. They promise them that they're going to teach them how to be done in the Halachos that are Nogea to the Tzibur. And in many of the cases, the Dayanim don't even ask for their opinion, so they don't even have an opportunity to learn how to properly be done in the issues that are Nogea to the Tzibur. That's how Rashi understands that they get put into these positions because the Talmid Chacham that are around them say, don't worry, I won't let anything bad happen. You know, when it comes something important, I'll be there to catch them, I'll be there to instruct them, I'll be there to help them out. But then they're not going to be there at all times, and the Dayanim are going to start thinking that they're worthy Dayanim, and they're going to start paskening based on what they believe that they know. That's how Rashi understands. The Maral writes that these are the Talmid Chacham that are melamdim Hilchus Tzibur. What does it mean they're melamid Hilchus Tzibur? They teach them how to look impressive, how to look good in front of the tzibur. But as far as actual knowledge, as far as actually being capable of doing the job, nah, they're not going to actually equip them with the knowledge that they need in order to do the job properly. They'll know how to make them look like a Talmud Chacham. You know, they'll have a good speech writer, and they'll give a whole shiur in public, and they'll say, "Whoa, what a Talmud Chacham!" But they don't really know anything, and therefore they're not going to be proper dayanim. Okay, another drasha about din that is improper. What does the pasuk mean when it says, so we take phrase by phrase, elu hadayanim, that's a reference to the dayanim that stick out their hands to receive a bribe, and based on that, they pervert the justice, they pervert the case, and they take away money that belongs to one guy and give it to another guy. Shelo kedin, it's as if they're being notol nishmaso, those are the people that are the scribes that work for the court, that write the shtaros, all these shtaros that are incorrect and improper. Those are the people that teach the balei din exactly what sort of tainos to say in the din, and they tell them to say tainos that are sheker in order to be able to win the case. So the lawyers that are not acting properly, and that are just figuring out a way that their client should win the case, even though it involves terrible deceit and dishonesty. Lashon chamav l'tayge, elu balei dinim. Those are a reference to the balei dinim that know that the other guy is really correct, but nevertheless they're still going to continue with their case and to fight it, even though they know that they're wrong, and they're going to promote all these titles sheker in order to win the case. So that's also a terrible miscarriage of justice. Vam Rabbi Lai, another teaching from Rabbi Milai, this time Mishum Rabbi Yitzchak Migadla'a. Miyom Shapirish Yosef Me'achav. That's why we're bringing this over here, because we're quoting a number of teachings of Rabbi Milai, right? The first couple had to do with justice, and now another teaching of Rabbi Milai, in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak Mikadla'a. From the day that Yosef was sold to the Yishma'elim, and he was separated from his brothers, lo ta'am tam yayin, he did not taste any wine until they brought Binyamin with them to Mitzrayim. That was the first time he had wine. Because of the bracha that Yaakov gives to Yosef, it says, ulukatkod nizir echav. From nizir, we learn that he was mazirat yatziratzmo minayayin, that he was hizratzmo minayayin, that he took a neder nizirus on himself. So the Kodkod Nizir Echav means that he was porish from his brothers, and that's when there was a Nizirus that took place. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Amar Af Hein Lo Tam Lo Tam Yayin. You think he was the only one? They also didn't taste any wine, the Chsiv, because the Pasuk says, when they brought Binyamin, Vayishtu Vayishkaru Imo, Mechlal Dada Idna Lo. It sounds like up until that time, they were not Shoset. It was only when Yosef brought them that they were Shoset, together with Yosef. V'idach and Rabbi Milai, who said that it was only Yosef that wasn't Tarim Tam. What does he do with the pasuk of Yishtu v'Yishkarimo? Shichrusu d'lohava shsia miyahava. No, they just didn't get drunk, but they did drink wine up until that time. This was just the first time that they allowed themselves to become intoxicated. Why is it that Yosef didn't drink wine? So the Ben Yoyada says that in order that he shouldn't let his secrets out, that he doesn't want to let everybody know that his brothers are the ones that sold him here and tell him the whole ugly story. Because even though it's all true, you don't want to make Klal Yisrael look bad. You don't want to make the Shiftika look bad. And it's a messy story to go around telling people exactly what happened. So Nichnas Yayin Yatsa Sod, he doesn't want to reveal the Sod, and therefore he was very careful to be guarded and not to allow himself to drink. The Ben Yoyada also explains that he was always davening, that his brother should not be punished based on his mechira, and there wasn't even a zman, a particular zman during the day, that he was kaveh for tefillah, because he felt that there was not enough tefillah that he could possibly offer to protect his brothers from suffering the consequences of their avera. So he was constantly davening for them, and someone who's drunk is not allowed to daven. So in order to allow himself to constantly be ready for tefillah, he would never drink anything. And that's why Yosef never drank. It's not exactly true that someone who has drunk anything is not allowed to daven. There are different madregos of shichrus, right? There's a madrega of shichrus that you're not allowed to daven, a madrega of shichrus that you're not allowed to paskan halacha, shasoy al yora, that a shikr al yispel, but a shasoy al yora, even if you just drink a little bit of wine, you can't paskan halacha. Many post muslims revius yayin, that you're not allowed to paskan sugim sech zervin. And then there's a madrega of shichrus that you're not even allowed to say brachos if you're kishichrus or shalot and your mamish out of your mind, so then you're not even allowed to say brachos properly. But obviously, if you drink a little bit, you're allowed to say brachos. We bench at the end of a meal, and the assumption is that they always had wine during the meals. It's a different madregos of yayin, so it's not 100% that a person can't drink wine at all, but maybe according to the Ben Yoyada, Yosef wanted to protect himself to make sure he never drank enough wine that would cause him a problem as far as tefillah when it comes to shichrus. That's what a lot of the poskim talk about on Mariv after Purim, that a person is chachmen of Barosha, a person has to be careful to, you know, even though it's chayiv inishul sum puriyad liyad benar hamul baruch Mordechai, but you got to remember that there's going to be a motzai Purim, there's going to be a shushan Purim, and there's going to be a time for tefillah where you're going to have to daven. So a person is going to have to be in a position where he's able to daven at that time. V'amar Rabbi Loi b'schar v'racha v'samach b'libo. Rabbi Milai taught us something else. In the schar that Aaron HaKohen was Mekayim, that he saw Moshe Rabbeinu and he was not jealous of him, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Moshe Rabbeinu the shliach to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and Aaron was samach b'libo, he had a great simcha about this, so zoch l'choshen mishpat al libo, he was zoch to have the choshen mishpat that was placed on his heart. The Rashi points out that by all rights Aaron should have been the one, he was gadol mi Moshe, the Shechina came to him before he came to Moshe. The Pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, that's a reference to Aaron HaKohen. So the Nevuah of Gulas Mitzrayim that says in Yecheskel was given to Aaron HaKohen. So all of that should have been Aaron. It should have been, and nevertheless, he was Samach Belibo. Marsha points out that the word Belibo is extra in the pasuk. He could have just said V'racha V'samach. So that's where Amilai makes the drasha from, that it was a genuine simcha. It wasn't just that he was showing simcha for Moshe. He was genuinely happy for him that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to accomplish this, that that Aaron himself was unable to accomplish. But so that's the Agavita portion of today's daf. So now the Gemara tells us that once we were discussing the inyan of Oel Arai, so we're going to discuss three shailas that the Bnei Bashkar, which are the Bnei Bishkar, asked Levi. One of them relates to a kila, relates to a canopy. So Shalchle Bnei Bishkar LeLevi, they asked the following three shailas. Kila mahu, what about putting a canopy over a bed on Shabbos? Is that an Isra of Asiyas Oel? Second, Kishusa Bekarma mahu, can you plant hops in a vineyard or is that a violation of Kilei HaKerem? And mace be yomtav mahu, if someone dies on Yantif, are you allowed to be osik with the mace and be metapal with the mace to bring him to Kavura on Yantif, or do you have to wait until after Yantif? So the Azul Nachnafshi de Levi, when they were sent, by the time they brought the shailas to Levi city, Levi had already died. So Amr Shmuel Rav Menashe at chakimas. So Shmuel said to Rav Menashe, if you're ichakimas rather, if you are a chacham and you know how to paskin these halachos, shlachlu. So send the Bnei Bishkar their tshuva, the tshuvas to their shailos, because Levi's not here. Even though they asked Levi, they need answers. So shaluch Rav Menashe sent back to the Bnei Bishkar kila chazan al kol tzide kila v'lo matzina latzad heter. We looked all around about this inyan of kila. There's no heter whatsoever. You can't use a kila at all on Shabbos. Says Mar, really? But what about yesterday's daf? V'lish l'chlu k'dron bar Yecheskel. Why didn't he tell him like what Rami bar Yecheskel said? That there's ways that you can use a kila. The Brisa said that Rami bar Yecheskel taught that if it was already set up, it just needed to be rolled out, but it was already attached to the bed, so you're allowed to roll it out if there's a string attached to it, that you just need to pull on the string and roll out the kila. So why didn't he mention that to them? So not only that, the Rashba raises the question, why doesn't the Gemara say V'lish l'chul k'damar shmol mishum Rabbi Chia? We also had in yesterday's daf that a kila's chasanim you're allowed to put up and you're allowed to take down. Why didn't he mention that? So the Rashba says, no, because Akilas Chasanim doesn't have a gag. They were asking about a kila that has a gag, that has a tefach wide gag on the top. The Ritva says that a stam kila, we assume, always has a gag. So that's what they were asking. So why didn't he tell them about all these heterim? He says, oh, I never heard of a heter when it comes to a kila. So we all heard of a heter. We learned yesterday's daf. Because the Bnei Bishkar are not Bnei Torah, so Rav Menashe didn't want to paskin for them a heter because their lack of knowledge, their ignorance, they're going to come to be makel on other things that they should not be makel on, because they're not going to know how to distinguish between a kila that has a chut and a kila that does not have a string that's attached to it, a chut or a meshicha attached to it. Keshusa bekarma ibruvia, and hops in the kerem is kalayim. So that's what he paskin. V'lish l'fluka Rabbi Tarfon. Why didn't he tell them like Rabbi Tarfon? D'tanya kishus Rabbi Tarfon. Omer ein klayim bekerem, chamim omer klayim bekerem. It's a machlokas Rabbi Tarfon and the chamim whether hops in the vineyard are in fact kilei hakerem or not. Rabbi Tarfon holds that the thorns that grow together with the hops are the ikker, and they are a min ilan, and therefore it's not kilei hakerem. It's only yerek that's also to be zorea in the kerem. You're allowed to plant an ilan in a kerem. So Rabbi Tarfon held that the hops primarily have a din of an ilan, and that's why he holds that it's mutter. And v'kaimelon, we paskin the Maseches Brachos kol mekel ba'aretz halacha kamosa b'chutz la'aretz. Anytime you have a shita that's mekel in mitzvah satulius ba'aretz, even though we don't necessarily paskin like that shita in Eretz Yisrael, but when we're dealing in chutz la'aretz, where all the dinim are not really dinim da'araisa, all the mitzvah satulius ba'aretz, when they're in chutz la'aretz, are only dinim midrabanan, so we can follow the shita of the mekilim. So we should follow the shita of Rabbi Tarfon. These people didn't live in Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to know, what about planting hops in the vineyard? So you should have said, oh, you live in Chutz Laaretz, you can follow the Shita of Rabbi Tarfon. Why did he say that that it's Klayim? So he answered Gemara again, Lufishen B'nei Torah, they're not B'nei Torah. And he felt that if they're not B'nei Torah, you can't share with them certain heterim. They're not going to know how to handle these heterim. You do find like this in Poskim sometimes, that Poskim are hesitant to issue certain heterim that may be proper, may ikar adin, but they're afraid that it ain't B'nei Torah. I think Rabbi Eider Zichron Levracha writes in his Svarim that or I don't know if he wrote it or explained that the reason that the books are written in English and the footnotes footnotes are in Hebrew was that he felt that the footnotes should be reserved for those who know how to decipher them, meaning that some of the kulas that are going to appear in the footnotes are going to be not proper for people who don't know how to be mechalik between one thing and the next. And if people don't even know how to read the Hebrew or the footnotes, then they're very likely not going to be educated enough to know how to decipher and know how to distinguish between something that's a reliable kula and something that's not a reliable kula. Rav Moshe writes similarly in the Igros Moshe Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Chav Beis, he talks about opening cans and bottles and these kinds of things. So in the process of writing that tshuva, he says, you know, all of these things that are a discussion me'ikra adin. But he says, l'maisa, we shouldn't be matar in any of these things, because in our generation, b'nei Torah mu'atim, there aren't too many b'nei Torah, and our sugi of here tells us that you can't be matar things when there are nuances of difference. It's going to be very tricky. So you can say, oh yeah, you could open a tuna can, but you have to destroy the can on the other side first. And you have, I mean, there are all these instructions, there are all these things you have to know, and there's every bottle is different. So for something, for people that are in b'nei Torah, you have to be very careful about issuing kulas in these kinds of situations. So Mach was Rav. So Rav announced, but before we get to the third answer to the third Shaila, so the Gemara brings different opinions about planting hops in the Kerem. So Mach was Rav. You want to plant hops in the Kerem, go ahead. Rav Aruch Hasid used to give Makas Mardus Midrabanan to someone who planted hops in the Kerem. Rav Mesharshia Yovle Pruta Latinok Nachri Vizarle. Rav Mesharshia had a trick. He would pay a Tinok Nachri a little bit of money, and he would have that the Tinok Nachri plant hops in the Kerem, because he figured the Mikra Adin, it's really mutter to be Zoreya and Chutz La'aretz, like we mentioned, but he didn't want people to learn from him to be Mekil, so he had a Nachri do it from a little child who's a Nachri to do it for him in his place. The Ritva brings a raya from the fact that if you're going to say that he held that it was Asr Mikra Adin, then you wouldn't be allowed to send the Yelid Nachri to do it. It wouldn't help as far as Klayim, because by Klayim there's a separatist, and not only in planting claim, there's something called chafitz b'kiyumo, that if you're interested in the kiyum, that you want it to remain that way, that's also a problem. So it must be that Rashi's correct over here when Rashi says he held it was mutter meikra din, and he just didn't want it to look bad, and that's why he sent the tinok nachri. It can't be that he held it was asr and he asked the tinok nachri to do it, because then it would still be a violation of chafitz b'kiyumo. The Rashi writes that according to Rav Mesharshia, it's nisr midrabanan. So just like according to the shita that's mechayiv one to be mafresh a katan meyisur on a daraisa level. You don't have to it's from isurim daraisa. You don't have to be mafresh him from isurim drabanan. So too, he who holds that by inisur daraisa we're not mitzuvah la'afrisho, by inisur drabanan it's more kal, and it would be mutter to even encourage him to do it. Meaning he holds that inisur drabanan is always one level below the isur daraisa. So if there's inisur daraisa to be mafresh a katan, if there's a din daraisa, by a daraisa you have to be mafresh a katan from an iser. So by an iser drabanan, you're not allowed to ask the katan to do the iser. But if you hold that by a daraisa you don't have a chiv to be mafresh, you're just not allowed to ask him. Then even an iser drabanan, you're allowed to even ask him. So that's how the Rashba Nivamus Kufiyadalin, where that sugya of los achilim of being machil biyadayim an iser to a katan, that's what the Rashba writes. So says Rav Litan Litino Kisval, why a non-Jewish child? Why not a Jewish child? Us in the Mizrach. That would be terrible chinuch. Then the kid is going to grow up thinking that this is okay to do. Tosus raises the question. He says that what happens when you have a koshal bracha of a bris milah on Yom HaKippurim? What do? We give it to a tinok. Why aren't we worried about us in the Mizrach? Why aren't we worried about that it's going to come, that the child is going to come to do the wrong thing? So he says, how often does that happen? It's not something that happens because shana v'shana, and therefore you don't have to worry about us in the Mizrach. But something that's going to become more of a frequent occurrence, then you have to worry about us in the Mizrach. Okay, so he's going to ask a guy. Why not ask an adult guy? Someone who sees him asking an adult is going to confuse the Yisrael, the Nachri for Yisrael, and he's going to think that Rav Mesharshia sent a Yisrael, and therefore they're going to come to the wrong halacha. So then we get to the third shaila to ask. Meis shalach lehu. He says, how do you deal with the meis and yom tov? Meis lo yisasku be lo yudad ve lo arma in lo biyom tov rishon lo biyom tov sheni. Nothing doing. Can't deal with the meis. Not by Jews. Not by non-Jews. Not in yom tov rishon. Not in yom tov sheni. Eini v'amar Rav Yehuda bar Shila samar Rav Yasi uvda ava beknishtu de ma'on. There was a story in the Beis HaKnesses of a place place called Ma'on, where someone died and needed to be buried. B'yom tov asamach l'Shabbos, and it was yom tov that was erev Shabbos. Le'adani imufnei milachra. We don't know if the yom tov was erev Shabbos or if the yom tov was on Yom Rishon. Either way, but it was yom tov that was right up against Shabbos. Vasil kamed Rabbi Yochanan, and they asked if Rabbi Yochanan if they could bury him. Varmalu yisaske be'amin. He said you're gonna have to get goyim to bury him. But you see, he allowed that yisaske be'amin. He allowed it to be done al yedei goyim. So how could you say that you're not allowed to do it? That you just have to leave the mace there. Samar Rava, and another kasha. Vamar Rava tells us that mace, if you have a mace that needs burial, b'yom tov rishon yisaske be'amin. If it's yom tov rishon, so have non-Jews be involved in the burial. B'yom tov sheni yisaske be'Yisrael. And on Yom Tov Sheni, you can even have Jews involved in the burial. Not only that, Vafil B'Yom Tov Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah, not just any Yom Tov Sheni, even Yom Tov Sheni of Rosh Hashanah, you can have Jews involved in the burial. Mashen Kein Bebeitza, as opposed to a Beitza that's nolad on Yom Rishon of Rosh Hashanah, the halacha is that it's Asur B'Achila on Yom Sheni, meaning the Gemara is just highlighting that there is a difference between the Yom Tov Sheni in general and the second day of Rosh Hashanah, because the second day of Rosh Hashanah is more chamer than other Yom Tov Sheni, because the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are considered a kedusha achas, and therefore a beitza shenol de bezeh is a surah bezeh. Even though when it comes to a beitza shenolda on Yom Tov Rishon, Yom Tov Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah is more chamer than every other Yom Tov Sheni when it comes to a mace, we're makel on Yom Sheni, even on Yom Tov Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. Why is it taka that Yom Tov Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah is Kedusha Achas, and that we're more, and that when it comes to Yom Tov Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah, we're going to be more machmir? Because the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah were not nikva because of a suffix like every other Yom Tov Sheni Shal Galios, where we just didn't know which day was really Yom Tov. Rather, it just became a chok kavua, like a yom aruch, like it was one long day midrabbanan. Why? What motivated that? Because it wasn't a suffix. What happened was that since Yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah is also Rosh Chodesh, so they needed to be mekabel edus on that day itself in order to be mekadesh the Chodesh. So one time the Edom came and the skalkal avim b'shir shel ben arbayim. Then the Edom came a little bit late, and already in the afternoon they saw that they were not yet kaveya Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah. So the Levim said the wrong shir, and then they were kaveya, then they were mekabel the Edom, and they were kaveya that day as Rosh Hashanah. So Beis Din made a takana that they're not mekabel the Edom past Mincha time, and if Edom came afterwards, there would be no egg also Yom Kodesh and the Machrasa Kodesh. There would be no egg both days of Kedusha, even though they already knew at that time that it was already the previous day. They were still knowing the next day of Kedusha. So since that was the way it was originally instituted, where even when there wasn't a suffix, so Yom Tov Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah is treated with a little more severity than other Yom Tov Sheni Shal Galios is normally treated. So says Gemara, okay, so why didn't he allow this kavura? So again, the Gemara answers, l'fishayna b'nei Torah, because they're reyna b'nei Torah, and if people are reyna b'nei Torah, you have to be careful about the kulas that you give to people who are reyna b'nei Torah. Now back to the issue of a kila. Amar Rabbi Avina Barahuna, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Mis'atev Adam b'kila, a person can wrap himself in the cloth of a canopy, u'bekaskaseha, and in the straps that are hanging from it, and it's not going to be a violation of Hatzayik, walk out into Rosh Hashanah that way. That those straps are not considered to be they're only there to spread it as a canopy, as an ohel. So you might think that it's considered a masa and it's asur ba'otza. It's like carrying the straps, even though you're wearing the kila as a garment, so the kila itself is a garment. But what do those straps have anything to do with anything? That's just loose strings. It's like a tag hanging from your clothing. So that's stamotza. You're just carrying something that's not at all a garment. So maishna midrafuna. Why is it any different than what Rav Huna said? Dam Rav Huna Mrav. Hayosti betal shen mitzias is kilch sabashadis chayev chatos. So that asked the Gemara over there. We say that if you're wearing tzitzis, that the tzitzis is not tied on properly, you're chayiv chatos, because the tzitzis are not done properly, and therefore they're not serving as the mitzvah, so they're not considered a chelik of the beged. They're just like you're carrying strings in Rosh Hashanah, because they serve no function for you. So why are the straps of the kila any different? They also serve no function for you. They're not really part of the beged. So as the word tzitzis gavitalis chashivi v'labatli. No, the strands of tzitzis by a talis, even when it's not mitzvah gilchasa, and therefore it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing, you're not getting the mitzvah, still they're chashuv, and they're not considered batel to the talis. Why are they chashuv? So Rashi writes, because they made a tchelas, and tchelas is very expensive. So the tchilas strands are something that you're going to want to save anyway, because it's very expensive and you want to use it in a different context. Rabbeinu Chananel says a little differently. He says that a person, leva adam is rotza b'kiyuman, of the strings of his tzitzis, because he plans on making his tzitzis right. Right now it's not mitzvah's kilksa. He has only three corners that are tied properly. So his plan is not to disregard the three corners that are tied properly. No, it's very chashuv to him, because he knows all he has to do is fix the fourth corner and then it's going to be valuable to him. So it's not batel to the garment, and therefore, since it's not batel to the garment, it has its own chashivos. That's why it's a violation of carrying on Shabbos. But honey, lo chashiv yubatli, but the strands that are attached to the kila have no chashivos whatsoever. They're batel to the garment, and as long as you're allowed to wear the garment, so you can have the strands that are attached to the garment as well. That's ultimately the difference between the tzitzis and the strands of the kila. There may be a Tosos quotes this Rabbeinu Chananel that says differently than Rashi. So maybe a huge nafkamina between them. Chiluk la'alacha, if you're yotzei Rosh Hashanah with a beged that's pater mitzitzis, a beged that's pachas mikashir, it may be a difference. Any beged that's pater from tzitzis, if you put tzitzis on it, you can't go to Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah paskins, and in a tshuva to the Chavetz Chaim disagrees. He says, according to Rashi, if the chutei tcheles are you're only chayiv of chutei tcheles, because the chutei lavan are always going to be bottled to the beged, they're never going to be chashuv enough. It's going to be like the strands that are attached to the kila. And according to the Rabbeinu Chananel, maybe you're going to say that it's only when you plan on saving those strings in order to tie it kilchasa. But maybe if it's pachas mikashir, then that beged is not salvageable, because that beged is pachas mikashir. This is a major problem. A lot of people wear tzitzis that are pachas mikashir. Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva that he discusses whether a person should recite a bracha, whether yeshiva brachim should recite a bracha on their tzitzis, because very often they're wearing tzitzis that's pachas mikashir, so maybe they shouldn't recite a bracha. So he said, I don't understand the question. They should wear a beged that's kashir. What do you mean? Should they not recite a bracha? They should wear a proper beged, and then they should be chayiv in tzitzis, and then there shouldn't be any shailas about it. Okay, says Gemara Vayter. Amar Abba Ravuna, Mar Madam Al Mishmaris Biyomtov Lutl Sba Rimonim. A person could do a Rama with a strainer to put Rimonim and Peros in the Mishmaris, Vitola Bashamarim, and then you could put the sediment in it, since the reason of the Isra to be told of the Mishmaris is because of the Dechol, and that's only when you're doing it in order to strain things. But when you put it out just to hold your Rimonim, so then it's not considered of the Dechol, so you're allowed to set it up, and then once it's set up, you're allowed to put the sediment in, the wine with the sediment in order to strain out. But then you actually have to be told the Rimonim in it. You can't set it up saying, oh, I'm doing this in order to be told the Rimonim, so it's not of the Tchol. No, you actually have to use it. Why is this any different than what the Brisa tells us? Matilin Sheikhar b'moed, you're allowed to prepare beer on Moed, Litzorach HaMoed. Shalom Litzorach HaMoed Aser, but Shalom Litzorach HaMoed it's Aser, because you're not allowed to do Melach on Chol HaMoed, it's not Litzorach HaMoed. Echad Sheikhar tomorrow, Echad Sheikhar Sorim, whether it's date beer or whether it's beer that's made from barley, va'af alpi sheyesh lahem yashan, and even though you have old beer to drink from, marim v'shosim in achadash, you can make a harama and prepare the new beer to drink from the new beer. So you see that a harama is a mutter, even when at the time you're doing it, it's not so obvious that you're not doing an isser. So why does Rav Ashi require that you actually hang the rimonim? So hasam lamuchamilsa, hacha muchamilsa. By preparing the beer, it's not muchak from your actions that you're doing a dvar isser, because people don't know that you have beer in storage. But over here, by being told of the mishmeres, it's more obvious that you're doing the isser. Amrle Rabban Rav Ashi Chazi Mar Haitzur Rabbanon, that you should see that this Talmud Chacham Rav Huna Bar Rav Chayun Shemei, and his name is Rav Huna Bar Chayun Va'Amri La Rav Huna Bar Chalvan Shemei De Shakel Brad De Tuma. He would take a tooth of garlic on Shabbos Umanach Be Barza De Dana, and he would put it in a hole in a keg that in order to close out the hole so that wine doesn't drip out of it. And he would say, oh, I'm not really plugging the hole and making a barrel. I'm just putting away this bone. I'm just putting it away so in a safe place. Vazel v'noyim b'mabra, and also he would go sleep on a boat of a nachri that was docked. And he would go to the other side of the, and he would travel to the other side of the river by the Nachri, riding the boat. Vesayir Peri, and he would guard his peros of his vineyard that are on the other side of the river. Varama Analaminum Kamechavina. He would say, what do you mean? I was just going to take a nap. I wasn't traveling on Shabbos. I wasn't asking the Nachri to take me from one place to the other. I just took a nap. I happened to take it on a boat that was docked. Samalu Harama Kramrit. So he says, what, Mitzad Harama, you're mocking him? Harama b'drabanan he. Over here, all these Yisurim are only Yisurim midrabanan, and you're allowed to do a Harama on an Yisurim midrabanan. So because of that, the Talmidei Chacham are not so machmir about such things. Yisurim midrabanan lost in the Mevel L'Chadchila. But the only reason you wouldn't be allowed to do a Harama is that you have to be concerned that maybe you'll violate these things L'Chadchila as well. By Yisurim midrabanan, you don't have to worry about that. At Talmud Chacham, you don't have to worry that he's going to come to violate these halachos L'Chadchila as well. Ritva points out, not always. Sometimes for Harama we're machmir, sometimes for Harama we're mekil, and sometimes for Harama we're mekil for Tamil Chamim and more machmir for other people. It all depends on the situation. Let's just do the Mishnah. You can put water over sediment in order that it should strain out, and the wine, meaning it will get, you have the sediment of wine in a strainer, you pour water over it like a pour over coffee, and then the water will come out with wine flavor in it. So the mikan that many poskim say you could do a pour over coffee on Shabbos as long as you avoid bishul problems, that it's not a problem of borer, that if you have in a filter you have the coffee grinds, you could then pour the hot water over it and let it pour through, and it will have flavor of coffee when it comes through. You could strain the wine in cloths and with a certain type of basket, and you can put an egg through a mustard strainer. You can make a certain type of drink on Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda Amar b'Shabbos Pakos, that it's only to mutter to make it a sheer kos, but not more than that, because more than that is a tirchi seira. And b'yom tov b'lagin, on yom tov you can make it in a larger type of kli, or b'moed b'chavis, and on moed you're even allowed to make it in a big barrel. Rabbi Tzadok Amar Akol for your orchid. It all depends how many guests you have. So you can make a lot of it on Shabbos if you happen to have a lot of guests arriving on Shabbos. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with the Gemara right after the Mishnah. Have a great day, everybody.